Now you can talk.
Yeah, I was going to say, we have real music all the time. Boomer comes in here and plays funny songs. But this is Joe Giuliano, our bumper music guy. And for 5 years, we haven't been sued yet. So we'll keep playing it.
I like to mix it up a little bit. It's true. Like Nitty Gritty Dirt Band, Fishing in the Dark, Hunting, Fishing, Loving Every Day. There's some cool country hunting and fishing songs out
all
there.
Because this is called The Four Outdoorsman. You got to be so politically correct. Hey, Strewman here, The Four Outdoorsman. That's Boomer, the big shot. Mark Lukey, producers to the left. And there's only three of us. You guys figure it out. How you been, Boom?
You know what? I've been doing good, Strew. We've had a really busy week.
Yes, you have.
You know what I mean?
You always have. You always
but
have
this one...
You're going to die before you're 40.
This one, well, I'm already 41.
Then
so
you're dead.
It's too late for that, Strew, man. But I tell you what, happy Sunday to the land of 10,000 lakes. That's the wild card. Boomer here, producer Mark to my left. Strew, we've got a lot to talk about, so let's just jump into it because we've got your son Mike coming on at 6:15. He's going to give us an update on his trip up at Lake of the Woods. They caught some walleyes up there.
Yes, he did.
And then at 6:20, we're going to have the VP of kayaking, Grant Karsten, come on, talk about what's going on with kayak fishing in Minnesota. And then at 6:40, we're going to have Mr. Tom Volk on, and he is the gentleman out in Mandan, North Dakota, who caught a 16-pound walleye.
16.9, pal.
And would have been a state record, but then it was called a not a legal hook or a legal catch.
We're going to find out. So anyway, I tell you what was cool. I talked to Tom on the way here. Mark and I drove up together, and Tom was telling me he is a huge Devil's Lake fan.
All right. I like him already.
We like him.
We like him. Hey, so Tuesday, you and I were in Waite Park, Minnesota, weren't we?
Boy, it was active. It was a lot of fun.
Why were we in Waite Park, Strew, man?
The grand reopening of Fleet Farm in Waite Park, right by St. Cloud there. And I've done a number of videos for them. We met all the big shots, and Boomer's the biggest schmoozer in the world, did a great job there.
To see the boat, the Alumacraft, and the Evinrude. Yeah. They love that piece of it.
That store's gone from like 110,000 to 132,000 square feet. It's got everything from diapers to fishing rods. I'll tell you, it's a beautiful store.
Man, it looked like they had a massive outdoors area.
Can't believe it.
From the pictures, it looked bigger than even. I always go to the one in Blaine, and that is a huge outdoors, you know, section. But this one looked even bigger than that.
They told me Appleton, where Fleet Farm is based, is even bigger than that. A bit bigger than that.
I was really impressed, Drew, with their fishing tackle lineup, the gun selection they had. But maybe what was more cooler in that is when they actually did the ribbon cutting. You know, they usually have like a big scissors.
Yeah.
They used an electric chainsaw and a log to do the ribbon cutting for the store. So that was pretty special. Well, Strew, after we were done with that at about 4:30-ish, I hightailed over to Lake Minnetonka.
I'm going to ask you this. Okay, Boomer was telling me, because we were up there, I think from 3 to 5, give or take something like that. And Boomer said he was going to go fishing in Minnetonka with somebody and had to get back. And it's over an hour to get back. You literally made it and fished in the evening on Minnetonka?
We did.
On Tuesday
evening. I left the event at 5:05. Pulled up to Lake Minnetonka and met the boys from Traeger Grills.
That's who it was, yeah.
That was the Traeger boys, and we went out fishing for largemouth because our friend of the show, Don, his boss was in town from California, and you know what? We're like, all right, let's give it a whirl. We had a couple hours, and this is that time of year, Strew, and I know our listeners know this as well, that when those water surface temps are above 60-ish degrees, those largemouth bass, and we're seeing it on Mille Lacs right now with the smallies, they're getting ready to pre-spawn. So I took them to a nice little honey hole. There was some dirty water, some shallow water with weeds. And as we know, that dirty water heats up the quickest, right? And so we just went to the northern end.
You knew that, right, Strew?
I knew that.
Oh, Strew knows that. Yeah. Strew just laid them. And we had fun, and all we did is throw some spinners right on the edge of the weed lines, and then we were throwing wacky worms right into the patches of the weeds, and we had an absolute hoot. So anyone who wants
to... So you caught some fish.
Oh, we did catch some fish. We caught some 4-pounders, some 5-pounders. It's a spot, Strew, that's typically good for about a week or two. I took Mark and his dad out there a couple years ago. Strew, we got to get you and Mike out there. And what it is, it's a bunch of largemouth that are just getting ready to spawn, and they're right in these weed patches. And I tell you what... We just use a weedless hook, a weedless wacky worm hook, a small little like number, I think it was almost like a number 2, if I'm not mistaken, and just threw that and just hooked it right in the middle, count to three, let it drop down and twitch it, and we had an absolute blast. So,
and that was about the most beautiful day of the week as well. Boy,
it was wonderful. It was gorgeous. Yeah. It was gorgeous. And then we went to go get a bite to eat at Lord Fletcher's. I'll never do that again on a Thursday night with a large Alumacraft boat and Evinrude motor because it was volleyball night. So parking was a lot of fun.
So what does the Alumacraft boat and the Evinrude motor have to do with volleyball?
Well, because when you have to try to park that in a parking lot that's absolutely packed,
it's not
that's
about,
what it had to do
it's
with
not
it.
About giving our sponsors more free love than they deserve, right? Is that what it is?
It ain't free.
It ain't free, Stu. And then after that, I took the old man up to Mille Lacs on Thursday. And it was
a really special
day. I did have a job. My job was to get my old man some walleyes on Mille Lacs. And so we went up on the north end, which is really popular this time of year.
Personal best alert.
Here it is. So we went out deeper from the crowd. So a lot of people were fishing in that, 17 feet range to lower. We went out in about 25 to 28 feet of water.
And you took a tip from John Savat on Vermilion.
No, it was actually a tip from Captain Lenny. He was a friend of the show. He's called in up in Bemidji. He used to fish all the walleye tournaments. And he said after the spawn, they were deeper in Vermilion because of the water surface temp, and they were still confused. We went out deeper because when those big females, those walleyes, are done spawning, Stru, they try to get away from everything else. They just need a few days, a week or so to
recover.
Glass
of wine. I understand that.
We just drug a clam tungsten jig, a quarter ounce jig, chartreuse right on the bottom with some fat heads. And we got out there for a couple minutes, and all of a sudden I felt a thump. And I set the hook and I go, Dad, I got something. And it feels really solid. And I'm starting to crank this fish in. And, I'm using braid, 30-pound braid. It's 8-pound diameter with a fluorocarbon 7-pound leader. And all of a sudden, it's getting closer and closer, and it's just making
Hang
runs.
Hang on a second. All you fans, the Four Outdoorsmen fans who are listening to this show on Bob Total Country, thanks for listening in. This is radio, and Boomer is going through the motions of reeling in a fish, and you can't see it, but enjoy it anyway. Go ahead.
And I'm standing up while I'm doing it.
Good yes,
and then when I brought it to the moat, brought it right next to the Evinrude, I look, and just right in front of me is one of the largest walleyes, and I'm like, Dad, I need the net, and Dad's just, he can't move around. He's no spring chicken anymore. Right. So I grab the net, bring it in. And Stru, I was really blessed, thanks to the man upstairs. It was 30 and a half inches, the biggest walleye I ever caught.
No, I thought it was 31 and a half.
Did you just... 30 and a half inches.
There you go.
And 30 is kind of that dirty 30. That's kind of that mark of like a fish of a lifetime for a walleye.
It's like a 50-inch muskie. It's like the mark of a nice fish.
Yes. And then what's funny about that, so we got the pictures, put it right back in the water right away, went right back to that same deep spot, maybe 20 feet over, and caught a 29-inch walleye right after that. And then Dad had a lot of fun. He was catching walleyes in the 20s. Mille Lacs is going on. So if it's a numbers game you want, go a little shallower. But we broke away from the crowds. I mean, we were about a mile from each different crowd. Now they started to come in a little bit. And we just fished about a third of a mile stretch. Dragging a jig works. I saw people doing a live bait rig. The only thing I could see is when you're running a live bait rig right now and you're looking for those big females, they're right on the bottom. I mean, we could see them before we caught them. And if we're running that live bait rig, as you guys know on Mille Lacs, that has that long lead, like an 8-foot to 9-foot to a 12-foot lead.
Yeah.
That minnow or that leech is going to just be a little too far above them at this point right now. So I would recommend if you're going hog hunting out there, drag that jig on the bottom. That tungsten jig really seemed to work, And it was a mixture of rock, gravel, and sand is where we were catching
Congratulations, pal, for your personal best. And I'll tell you what, you may probably never beat that. And that's wonderful because the 30-inch walleye is massive. And that's quite an accomplishment. Good for you and glad for the old man.
Yeah, you know what, Stu? And I wouldn't want it to do it with anyone else than my old man. We'll talk about the smallmouth fishing. I said, Dad, do you want to go smallie fishing? I won't say what he said on air. He said, no, we're sticking to the walleyes. But I saw a lot of people working Garrison Reef, the popular 3-mile reefs, Miramar Reef. I believe those smallmouth right now are getting ready to pre-spawn. They're fairly shallow, but they're not spawning yet. And I bet you by Memorial Day weekend, which is coming up here, those smallies are going to get going. And there's going to be a lot.
Did you keep one of your fish? Because you can keep one fish
Did not. You know, for the most part, Stru, you know this from when we fish. We only usually keep a couple fish on what we're going to eat.
Yeah.
And we were just having such a blast and had to get back to Sophie's soccer game after that that we just caught and released everything.
Again, congratulations on that. But I'll tell you what, before, I'm going to ask you guys a couple of questions. But I got a real quick shout out to a guy named Scott from Extreme Fitness, where I do my experience. Extreme fitness. What it's called? The gym. It used to be Gold's Gym. Is that what it's called? And yep. a friend, Peter, who is a fisherman from the kayak. He loves kayak fishing. And they're both going to be listening tonight. So say hi to both of those guys. But in the meantime, you and Mark did something else with Pheasants Forever.
Yeah, Mark, why don't you lead us off with that one?
Yeah, we did a shotgun showcase at the Horse and Hunt Club last Friday. And it was a really cool experience because when in your life are you ever going to have a chance to shoot 12 to 13 different types of guns? I shot a lot of things I've never shot before. I shot a lot of things I would never be able to afford before. And it was just a lot of fun. You know, it was just an event where we do actual reviews that are going to be in Pheasants Forever magazine. So you might see Boomer or myself with an actual review of a shotgun. So they had all sorts of different stuff. I've never shot a 16-gauge before. I shot a 16-gauge. That was cool. Never shot a 28-gauge before.
Yeah, I be honest with you, I should know this hunting my whole life. I didn't even know there was a 28.
I knew that. I mean, I never knew of a 16. Well, I knew there was, but I didn't know people used them for pheasant hunting.
So if they went from I've got a 12-gauge and a 20-gauge.
Yeah.
Is there something between a 20 gauge and a 28? There must be. Why go to a 28 gauge?
I think like a 410. I think a 410 is fairly similar to a 28 gauge.
Smaller than a 28.
Oh, sure it is.
Yeah, probably.
They look close,
yeah.
though.
Yeah.
They look close.
Yeah.
But, it, you know, that was a blast, Mark. I mean, shooting all those different guns
and
trying to get used to them, and all the big companies were there. You know, all the big names you would expect, Winchester, Remington, Browning, Benelli, probably a few other names that I forgot about.
You can tell that those reviews were really important because they're like, make sure you write a review. Yeah. And if you ever commented, you're like, wow, this feels like, please put that on the paper, sir.
or if it jammed, they'd be like, user error.
Yeah.
So you're saying now all of these guns, let's say there's 18 different types of shotguns you guys were shooting.
Yeah.
All those manufacturers had a rep here.
They did, most of them.
Are they all from the state of Minnesota?
No, they're
from So they pulled these guys in from a long ways.
Yeah.
All from Pheasants Forever.
Yeah, and they were there to educate you. And, you know, and I can't say enough about Jared Wickland. He's a friend of the show, the PR guy at Pheasants Forever, and all the stuff PF does for upland and conservation. I think when Jared was talking right away, they now have over 16 million acres of habitat that they've participated in helping. I mean, that's a lot of acreage, 16 million acres when you think about that.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, it was a great event. Had a lot of fun. Saw some friends there. Travis Frank from The Flush was there, who I work with. Sam Oftedal was there, our friend Big Sam.
Big Sam!
Yep. And a lot of friends from Pheasants Forever. So it was a great event.
Bobby Camaro was there.
Yeah, my boss, Rob Burrell, was there. We call him Bobby Camaro. But we hunted with Brett from Prairie Sportsman. A lot of other media folks
Chris
out there.
Chris was there from Copen Outdoors. Friend.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a
blast. So it was a good time.
And then after that, I did the Clays for Conservation, which was to raise money. And you got 50 targets, and you went around that walkthrough station. And, you know, I hadn't been to Horse and Hunt Club, Mark, since it burned down and they redid it. And it's such a fun course to shoot, Stru, because you're in
there.
The woods.
I was there in probably October of last year.
You were missed, by the way. You were missed.
Yeah, but I'll tell you what, my gorgeous wife didn't miss me. We were having a good time in Chautauqua, Wisconsin. Filet mignons on the grill, and we just had a great time. So I love you guys, but I love my wife.
I understand.
Wife. I love my
That's
wife. It's
a long drive
more.
From us.
So, Stru, it's 6:14, and I think Brandon's getting Mike on the line because Mike had his Alumacraft up at Lake of the Woods, didn't he?
Michael, are you there?
I'm here.
Hey,
yes,
this
am.
That's Mike Heinen. Mike Heinen is my son, as a matter of fact. He fishes in Alumacraft, of course, because Boomer talked him into it, I suppose. But Mike just came back from Lake of the Woods with a bunch of guys over Friday and Saturday, and you were posting pictures, my friend. Tell us what happened on Lake of the Woods, how it went, what you were using, what worked, what didn't work.
Well, we got up Thursday night, went out on Friday, and weather was right, so we were able to get quite a ways out on the lake, and we had a great time. We pounded the fish. We caught
Yeah, and you were talking about, okay, you told me this before, but you are going out a ways on the lake. They went out 16 miles.
Whoa.
To catch a fish. I mean, that's a long ways. And I asked Mike, how did you know how to go out there? Why would you go out there? And Mike, what did you tell me?
Well, I got a ringer. You know, we were staying at Sean's Birchview Resort, yeah. And he's a heck of a nice guy. He told us where to go, so we went out there and we got out. Hey, the fish are always on the opposite end of the lake. I mean, no, it was a good time. We were able to get out there. We caught a lot of nice ones, a number of 27-inch, a wow. bunch of 25s, 24s. We got a lot that we were able to keep, and it was a real nice day. Friday was probably our best day of fishing. Vertical jigging, frozen shiners, live shiners, they pretty much were hitting about anything, like Boomer was saying, right off the bottom, you know, 6, 12 inches they were sitting out there.
Mike, Saturday, Mike, what was the water surface temp?
48.9, 48.7, little cool, but... not bad. They were biting like crazy. You know, I can't say a lot of guys were still in the river fishing, and that's where we spent all day on Saturday was in the river because it was just a little too nasty to get out in the big pond. But you know, a lot of people were still catching fish. I personally didn't do as well on Saturday, but same thing, vertical jigging, but with a lot heavier jig. We had to use about a 1 ounce jig to get down to the bottom there. Current's moving so fast. But, yeah, it was a wonderful time. I got out with some good friends and a big fish fry Saturday night, and we brought home a whole bunch of fish.
Attaboy. Hey, Mike, Boomer was talking about when he was fishing in Mille Lacs, they were going down to between 20 and 25 feet. How deep were you fishing as well?
You know, when we got out there, everybody was talking 14 to 16 feet, and so we started there, but we didn't do well until we started marking them at about 26 to 28 feet as well. So
yes,
we parked it there at 28 feet, and we spent about 3 hours just annihilating them.
Oh,
so,
good for you.
Mike, yeah. Couple questions on that 26 to 28 feet. Was there any particular structure you were looking for in that 26 to 28 feet? And were you guys camped out on spot lock, just kind of casting all over the place, or were you moving up and down a ridge line on 26 to 28 feet?
Nope. There was, we started kind of, there was only one, maybe two other boats down like a 28, 30 foot ridge line. And we basically spot locked and vertical jigged the entire time. We didn't need to move. It was just action nonstop. So we kind of hit a honey hole, and then the boats, you know, how they crowd in around you, and everybody was having a great time. Everybody was bringing fish in. So it was, we didn't have to spend a lot of time dragging jigs or moving around. We were able to just stay in the same spot. We had to bounce around early on in the morning until we figured out that they were out a little bit deeper. But like I said, Sean put us on some spots to go check out, and that got us close. So,
Mike, I'm laughing internally here because you talked about bumper boats. Remember that? It reminds me of when you and I a few years ago were on Red Lake. Remember that, buddy?
Oh, yes. Yes, indeed. Yep.
Hey, Mike, last week I was reading in the paper, maybe Outdoor News, that they were having trouble getting the right minnows for you guys who are going to be fishing walleyes this last week. Is that no longer an issue? Are the fatheads and shiners, are they abundant right now?
No. No, as a matter of fact, now up there was a couple places that had shiners, but they're a lot of frozen shiners is kind of a standard on Lake of the Woods. But the you know, we stopped at a couple of different places. Everybody had no rainbows, no shiners. So the bait, and I don't know why that is, but was definitely a shortage on that. But there was a couple shops up there, but you had to look around to find live shiners. That's for sure.
Hey, Mike, I'll tell you what, we're going to wrap it up because we got to get to a break, and we got a hell of a show with the rest of the hour. Why don't you give a shout out to your resort again? Who put you on the spot?
Yeah, that's Sean's Birchview Resort. He's right up on the river. He's got nice docks and cabins and charters, and it's the real deal. And anybody heading up, I definitely to go check him out. Sean's Birchview Resort.
I also want to give a shout out to Heinen Construction, Mike's construction company. He did a fantastic job on my roof, my siding, my deck. Is there anything in my basement? Is there anything on my house you haven't worked on, Mike?
I'm sure we can find something.
Well, thank you. You did a great job. So if you need some work, call Heinen Construction.
Hey, take care, Mike. I'm glad you had a great time. You came back safely. And give Mama a call in the morning. We'll go from there. All right, buddy?
Have a great night, guys.
You bet. Take care. That's my son, Mike. Hey, we're going to go to a break right now, right?
Yeah, who do we got coming up after break?
We've got Grant Karsten. He's with the Minnesota Kayak Fishing Association. I tell you what, it's growing like weeds. We're going to check it out.
Missed part of Bob Outdoors? No problem. Just click on the weekend tab at mybobcountry.com to listen back to the Four Outdoorsmen anytime.
If you love walleye fishing, then you'll love Devil's Lake, North Dakota, where walleye season is open 365 days a year. Plus, you can keep 5 walleyes a day with a 2-day possession limit. What does that mean? You can bring home 10 walleyes to the freezer, baby, and there's no slot limit. Devil's Lake just doesn't have world-class walleye fishing. It's got awesome jumbo perch, northern pike, and white bass. For lodging and guide options, up-to-date fishing reports, visit devilslakend.com.
Let's start thinking about open water, flip-flops, and sunshine. Boomer here, and my family and I have been fishing with Alumacraft boats for the past 6 years. Alumacraft boats cover the complete spectrum of fishability, whether we're catching walleyes, hooking panfish, or chasing bass. A best-in-class dry ride with Alumacraft's 2XB haul and lots of storage are just a couple of the reasons why we choose Alumacraft. To learn more about Alumacraft, go to alumacraft.com or visit a dealer near you. Finally, an online tackle shop built for you. OmniaFishing.com. Boomer here, and how about this? Headed to a new lake or an old favorite? With OmniaFishing.com, you simply pick your lake, the species of fish you want to catch, and OmniaFishing.com tells you the hottest lures that are working now. And it's not just Omnia Fishing's opinion, it's the local guides and pros that help with selecting the tackle for each lake. With thousands of lakes to select in Minnesota, OmniaFishing.com has you covered. Time to think about shorts, sunblock, and catching walleyes. Boomer here. Heath's Resort on the Whitefish Chain is a third-generation family resort with 15 cabins, a large playground beach, covered electric boat slips, and pontoon and fishing boat rentals. Heath's Resort is one of my family's favorite destinations. A great multi-species lake that boasts 16,000 acres, the Whitefish Chain and Heath's Resort is a must for your next family vacation or fishing adventure. To learn more about Heath's Resort, go to heathsresort.com.
K&L Surplus and Ammo is your destination for all your shooting needs. Family-owned for over 20 years, K&L buys and sells firearms and is federally compliant. They have the best prices on ammunition and offer discounts to first responders and veterans. They also specialize in European caliber ammo and the only local SKB authorized dealer. Join the K&L Shooters Club for added benefits. K&L is located at 7960 Lake Drive in Lionel Lakes. Call them at 763-757-2614 for more information.
You can't choose the weather, but you can choose rain gear that works. Introducing Blackfish Technical Rainwear. Utilizing patented fabric technology, Blackfish rain suits are 100% waterproof, yet provide unmatched breathability, keeping you dry from your own perspiration. And with a limited lifetime warranty, Blackfish rain suits are built to last. When you need to stay dry and comfortable, choose Blackfish, because you can't choose the weather. Learn more at blackfishgear.com.
I'm going to tell you something personal. I take Metamucil, and it's so amazing it makes me want to tell strangers on the radio. Metamucil is made from psyllium fiber, a naturally sourced, plant-based fiber that traps and removes the waste that weighs you down. I take it every day, and it helps me feel lighter and ready to take on the world. So if you feel sluggish, it might just be your digestive system not working like it could. So try it for yourself, and then tell everyone you know. Or not. Metamucil. Feel what lighter feels like.
One good thing about perennials, they return every year. Another good thing, the Home Depot has gallon varieties, now 3 for just $12. Healthy, happy, and regionally selected so they're bred to thrive. Let them put down some roots and stay a while in your garden. Come next spring, they'll return the favor again and again. Today is the day for doing with gallon perennials, 3 for just $12, now at the Home Depot. More saving, more doing. Selection varies by store.
Total Country Bob FM. Welcome back to the Four Outdoorsmen. Stu Man here, Boomer, Mark, Lukey, three of us are here. The fourth one, who knows where the hell he went?
But it's Brandon.
Hi. Oh, Brandon's here.
Brandon's here.
Brandon's here. Hey, Boomer, before we get to Grant from Minnesota Kayak Fishing Association, let's talk about our sponsors, huh?
Yeah, we don't get to yap hunting and fishing for the last, 6 years on air without great support.
No, your 31-inch walleye is probably 27. We've been doing this. We're in our fifth year.
That is our sixth
no,
year.
No, sir.
Dog years.
Dog years, Drew, man. Yeah, let's start with Omnia Fishing. It's like your local bait tackle store online where you can pick the lake, the species you want to target, the technique. And so I just pulled up a lake that I was at, which was Minnetonka, and I said bass fishing, and I said I was going to be wacky rigging, and I was going to be using plastics. And I tell you what, the wacky worms that they recommended were spot on with the colors that we were using. It was that green pumpkin, kind of that purplish with speckled, and they did all of that between the Yamamoto Senko worm that they had selected here, the Berkeley Power Pate, Max Scent, General Stick Bait. All of the colors that they recommended on Omnia were right there. So omniafishing.com, and then Aluma Craft Boats, been fishing with those folks for 5-6 years. Best boat market in the market, the competitor 205 with Evan Rude, handled Mille Lacs like a champ.
Just bringing back Omnia for a second, I believe you can still get a discount if you type in Boomer20. That's Boomer20 at checkout, and you should be able to get a discount.
Yeah, 20% off. So don't forget to go to omniafishing.com. It's like your local bait and tackle store online, omniafishing.com. Put in the code Boomer20 and get 20% off
Blackfish, your order. Blackfish outerwear. I'll tell you what, it's the best. Of course, I love the soft shell. I wear it 5 days a week. Rain gear. Check it out. They're in Fleet Farm, aren't they, Blackfish?
Yeah, we saw them up there in Wake Park.
Got to check them out. Devil's Lake Tourism, of course, our top sponsor, in my opinion, because I love Devil's Lake. And it's the bucket place to go. It's 12 months a year, no season, no slot, 5 a day, 10 a position. In possession, go to Devil's Lake. I'll tell you what, it's well worth going to.
And guess what we're doing on Tuesday?
We're not going to Devil's Lake.
Next Tuesday, we're going to Heath's Resort up on the Whitefish Chain, the northern part. We did an Alumacraft photo shoot there. Heath's Resort, a great family resort. Can't wait to get up there and chase some of those walleyes and bass up on Heath's Resort.
I want to jump on the beach. They have a beach up there, too.
Yeah, they got a beach and a sand volleyball court,
I'm ready.
Too. Let's do it. Hey who's
Grant,
bringing in our guest?
Grant, are you there, buddy?
Good. Can you guys hear me?
We can. Yeah. All welcome right, to the Four Outdoors. It's been a while.
Yeah, it's been a long time. How you guys been doing?
We're doing well. Hey, what's new with the Minnesota Kayak Fishing Association? This has gone from minuscule to gargantuan in 5 years. Go ahead, Mark.
Yeah, I remember Grant. I think you were one of our first guests about 5 years ago. Your whole crew came in and told us all about the world of kayak fishing, and you had, I don't know, maybe 100 people. Signed up for the association. How are things growing for you guys and the association itself? And then we'll get into fishing.
Well, I tell you what, we started up, back when Ron started it, Ron Strauss, our president, he started it up back in 2013. And since then and since the show, we've grown to about 2,000 members on our website. And we have well over 1,500 or so on our Facebook group sites and social media outreaches and things like that. Our tournaments kind of sell out within 48 hours or so. And we're capped at 75 boats, 75 kayaks per tournament. And I think last year we had a record sellout within 8 hours, I believe it was.
That's amazing.
So, wow. As soon as we post them, the guys are so adamant about getting on there right away. They're watching the countdown clock, and they're like, yep, I got to get in there, get on that tournament, otherwise I'm going to miss out on some sweet prizes and some fun doing it.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, Struman here, of course, Boomer, Mark Lukey, thanks for being on the Four Outdoorsman. When we first started this show 5 years ago, every once in a while we'd do a show someplace like a Northwest Sports Show or Minnesota Bow Show or something, and people would know who we were, which was kind of cool. But all of a sudden I'm at the gym yesterday, actually it's this morning, Experience Fitness, and a guy named Pete tells me he is an avid kayak fisherman and is listening right now. All of a sudden we're hearing people kayak fishing where 5 years ago we didn't.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, it's almost impossible to go driving in the summertime around here in Minnesota. If you drive on the freeway, you're going to see a kayak on top of a roof of a vehicle or being pulled behind in a trailer.
My wife and I were in Chautauqua last weekend, a couple of days back, as a matter of fact. We're going through the channel. Mark's been up there. Boomer's been up there. And there are two guys kayak fishing, and I swear to God, their kayaks and all their gear and the amenities they had on this, these kayaks probably cost about as much as my car. It looked like a Cadillac on water. Wow, that was kind of fun to watch.
Absolutely. Yeah, you can spend as little as $300 or so to start getting out on the water, and you can go all the way up to over $5,000 decking out your rigs.
Wow.
Hey, Grant, Boomer here. It amazes me every time I get back down to ICAST and check out all the new stuff that's going on, that for the last couple years I've been down there, kayak fishing, the real estate that kayak fishing continues to grow and take up at ICAST down in Orlando, is absolutely amazing. And the technology, the rods that are for kayak fishing, the electronics that are for kayak fishing, it's just stunning to see how the sport is growing. And my question for you with that is, I've also heard some things as the sport is growing, it's becoming more formalized in its tournament structure. And a friend of mine, Fluke Master, there's something going on with big kayak tournaments and FLW. Can you expand on that?
Yes, there is. So that's on the KBF side. So that's going to be like your national, that's kind of away from Minnesota, but you can still participate in those here in Minnesota. So KBF is kayak bass fishing, and yeah, they have partnered with FLW. And what they have is actually a kayak bass fishing trail series now. So you have guys that are literally making a living off of kayak fishing. So they're quitting their day jobs and they're pursuing these trail events, looking for those big payouts to pay their bills. But that's how they're doing it in kayak, to do kayak fishing.
Cool.
You know, when you hear about the big bass tournaments, you know, it's usually about $100,000 if you take first place. What are the payouts looking like for these big trail national kayak tournaments?
So the trail series is broke down between like Central and each division. The first place payout is $2,000. And then when you get into the championships, like last, let's take the championship from last year, the KBF National Championship, that payout was $100,000.
Wow.
Now, that wasn't including all the bonus and sponsor money. I believe when all things said and done, he walked home with just shy of $140,000.
Go ahead, Mark.
So I got kind of a funny image in my head. You know how like FLW and everything, they got those big 250s on those bass boats, and they're hauling butt to the other side.
Benny Hill, here it comes. Yeah.
Is there a mad scramble as far as physical, you know, pedaling, I guess. Most of them are pedal style now, to get away from the launch at the start. Is it like a mad race on a kayak?
Funny.
I tell you what, so the MNKFA just had our first live tournament of the year this last week on Lake Sakata down in Waterville. You're allowed to launch. You were able to fish Tatanka, Lower Sakata, and Upper Sakata. And you're allowed to use any one of those public launches right after the captain's meeting. You can drive there and launch at anyone you want. However, when we got 75 guys, we're still going to have, obviously, a lot of people clustered in one launch. And, yes, there was kind of a mad dash last weekend to get to the spots before everybody else does. Yes, so that does happen. And some guys, you know, I was racing with one guy to a spot way in back. We had about a two mile run, and we had a headwind that day, and we were side by side, and he looks over at me and I look over at him, and he goes, "I should have stretched before we left. My legs are burning."
I tell you what, this
I should have stretched too. Let's just keep going.
This is funny. I can visualize it, Mark. That's a great question. I can see Mark was thinking this would be a better sport if it was a contact sport. If you could, yeah. If you could like
tip them over,
if you
or
could
something.
Bump, yeah, bumper cars and stuff, yeah. Yeah, that's
there's
funny.
Gonna be people hiding trolling motors
yeah,
underneath.
Go ahead, Boomer. Go ahead. That's funny.
I was just gonna, in a joking way, you know, does it ever happen where there is a little bumper kayak going on when you're going to the spot when everyone's clustered together?
No, not really. I mean, everybody's really civil, and I mean, our community is really strong with the kayak anglers. Everybody's wanting to help each other out. You know, if they're not catching any fish, then we'll try to do what we can to help them out so they can catch some fish, but. We never really get anybody bumping each other. We had another guy that you know, he was getting tired of paddling and he had a paddle kayak, and so we had another one of our members who actually won, Daniel Z. He tied a tow rope behind his pedal drive kayak, and he was towing him around and fishing at the same time, and he won the tournament.
That's a nice man. I tell you what, to all of our listeners in the 4 Outdoorsmen, we're talking with Grant Karsten with Minnesota Kayak Fishing Association. Grant, what is new? What kind of tournaments are coming up in the next couple of weeks?
Oh, for our club, let's see. We got now. We always get a question about: is there a tournament in my area? We noticed that a lot of the tournaments are kind of scheduled around, you know, central Minnesota and that area. So, what we can do, being that we don't go off of a weight thing, we can have online tournaments. So
that's
we
cool.
go off of a link.
Yeah, that's cool.
So we have a few different online tournaments this year going on. And we actually partnered with Omnia Fishing.
Awesome.
And Omnia Fishing, we're having a series of online tournaments, one bass, one pike with them, that's going to be all season long from May to October. So it's going on right now. And all you have to do is just purchase some of their lures off of their website and make sure that you catch the fish with those lures. And then you send them in, and we have some prizes and things that are going out with Omnia Fishing. We also have another cool. online tournament that's called Five for Five. It's five biggest fish for 5 months of the fishing season here in Minnesota. And that one will be a cash payout prizes for that, depending on how many people sign up for that one. The more people that sign up, the higher than the prizes go up and the cash goes up. And we have our biggest tournament of the year, which is coming up in June. All the live ones are currently, we have a few spots open in some of them, but most of them are all sold out already. But we have our 2019 Chris Nelson Memorial Kayak Fishing Tournament. We're doing that on Lake Kronos in Minnesota here. And that's our biggest one. That's our memorial to our wonderful sponsors over at High Tempo Fishing Kayaks. We've been doing a tournament for their son every year, who tragically passed away from brain cancer, inoperable brain cancer, or a brain tumor, I'm sorry. And once he was diagnosed, he died four days later. So we have this tournament to kind of honor him. He was a wonderful fisherman and a wonderful guy. So we do this one every year, and it's a huge turnout. We have tons of food and barbecue, and everybody has so much fun. We give away thousands and thousands of dollars of prizes. So we have a lot going on in the club here, and every year we always try to do some fun things. So we have team tournaments that are going after toothy critters like pike and muskie and walleye and things like that. So we've always got something going on. We also have a few of one of our other partners, one of our other friends is Clearwater Outfitting Company up in Clearwater, Minnesota. And he's got two bronzeback tourneys on the Mississippi up there. So
all right, hang on, Grant.
Open for registration too.
How are you, sir? Mellow out, take a breath. Here comes Boomer. He's got a question.
Hey, Grant, you know, when I think of kayak fishing, and I just don't know any better because I haven't done it, I think of more like a finesse fishing style with like a wacky worm, a drop shot, a shaky head, a Ned rig, kind of Carolina rig feel. Is that mainly it? Or when you mentioned walleye fishing, I mean, can you pedal and actually like try to live bait rig or pull some cranks?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. A lot of members like to do that. We actually do a trip to Lake Michigan, and we'll troll cranks for the salmon and trout that run through there. So, yeah, you can troll. It's a lot easier to do it with a pedal kayak, of course, because you're hands-free, and you're, you know, pedaling and trying to fight a fish at the same time is a little easier than trying to paddle. But, yeah, that's absolutely doable. Power fishing and trolling and things like that is very doable.
Hey, Grant, I'll tell you, we're going to wrap it up in a couple of minutes here, but I have a question for you because it was fun. I was at the office today doing some work, and I got online, and I heard a podcast with you and Mario Travelline from the DNR Fisheries. I think he's a fisheries biologist. Let's talk about your podcast, your YouTube stuff.
Yes. So I have started up a podcast for the club, and it's just an informal podcast for everybody to listen to. You can find it on iTunes or on Spreaker, and it's just an informative, fun podcast that we do. We don't go out. We don't do like every week or anything like that. We're about once a month. We put out an episode, and it's like I said, it's just informative for the members and anybody else who wants to listen to. So you can look that up at MNKFA podcast on iTunes or on Spreaker. And then yeah, I have my own YouTube channel, so I try to keep that also very informative, and so guys can pick up tips and things like that if they want to modify their kayak trailers or build rod boxes or just fishing technique in general. So you can check me out on YouTube if you want. Follow along at GC Fishing on YouTube.
We're going to wrap it up. I'll tell you what, it is fun. Listen to it. Check it out. How do people reach you if someone wants to get involved in kayak fishing and tournaments and whatnot? How do they reach you? How do they reach your foundation, your organization?
So the easiest way is just Google search Minnesota Kayak Fishing, and we're the first thing that pops up, MinnesotaKayakFishingAssociation.org. And go ahead, if you want to be a member, it's free to join. You don't have to pay anything. There's no money involved. If you want to join a tournament, you can. We have cheap tournaments. And then we're also on social media. We have two different social medias. We have a main page, Minnesota Kayak Fishing Association, and then we have a private group page, too, so you can check both those out. And then if you find me on Facebook, go ahead and send me a friend request and give me a message. If you got anything talking kayak fishing, I'd be happy to help.
You got it. Grant Karsten, Minnesota Kayak Fishing Association. Thanks for being a friend of the Four Outdoorsmen. You support us, and we'll support you. Take care, young man. Thanks for being on the air.
Thanks, Grant. Take care, buddy.
Yeah, we'll talk to you guys later. Have a good one.
See you, bud.
Gonna wrap it up. We got Tom Volk on. Tom Volk caught the 16-pound, 9-ounce walleye in North Dakota. A couple of weeks back, we're gonna talk to him and see what happened. Was it a state record?
We'll find out.
We're gonna find out.
You're listening to the Four Outdoorsmen, part of Bob Outdoors.
Let's start thinking about open water, flip-flops, and sunshine. Boomer here, and my family and I have been fishing with Alumacraft boats for the past 6 years. Alumacraft boats cover the complete spectrum of fishability, whether we're catching walleyes, hooking panfish, or chasing bass. A best-in-class dry ride with Alumacraft's 2XB haul and lots of storage are just a couple of the reasons why we choose Alumacraft. To learn more about Alumacraft, go to alumacraft.com or visit a dealer near you.
If you love walleye fishing, then you'll love Devil's Lake, North Dakota, where walleye season is open 365 days a year. Plus, you can keep 5 walleyes a day with a 2-day possession limit. What does that mean? You can bring home 10 walleyes to the freezer, baby, and there's no slot limit. Devil's Lake just doesn't have world-class walleye fishing. It's got awesome jumbo perch, northern pike, and white bass. For lodging and guide options, up-to-date fishing reports, visit devilslakend.com.
Finally, an online tackle shop built for you. OmniaFishing.com. Boomer here, and how about this? Headed to a new lake or an old favorite? With OmniaFishing.com, you simply pick your lake, the species of fish you want to catch, and OmniaFishing.com tells you the hottest lures that are working now. And it's not just Omnia Fishing's opinion, it's the local guides and pros that help with selecting the tackle for each lake. With thousands of lakes to select in Minnesota, OmniaFishing.com has you covered. Time to think about shorts, sunblock, and catching walleyes. Boomer here. Heath's Resort on the Whitefish Chain is a third-generation family resort with 15 cabins, a large playground beach, covered electric boat slips, and pontoon and fishing boat rentals. Heath's Resort is one of my family's favorite destinations. A great multi-species lake that boasts 16,000 acres, the Whitefish Chain and Heath's Resort is a must for your next family vacation or fishing adventure. To learn more about Heath's Resort, go to heathsresort.com.
K&L Surplus and Ammo is your destination for all your shooting needs. Family-owned for over 20 years, K&L buys and sells firearms and is federally compliant. They have the best prices on ammunition and offer discounts to first responders and veterans. They also specialize in European caliber ammo and the only local SKB authorized dealer. Join the K&L Shooters Club for added benefits. K&L is located at 7960 Lake Drive in Lionel Lakes. Call them at 763-757-2614 for more information.
Spring is right around the corner, and you just remembered your trailer needs to be serviced before the season starts. Crystal Welding has you covered. Crystal Welding in Maple Grove offers a wide variety of services, including welding, maintenance, and repairs for all types of trailers. Crystal Welding is your one-stop shop for all your trailer needs. Go to crystalwelding.com for more information. Crystal Welding. Solutions. Service. Results.
Crystal Welding gets the job done. No jobs are small because we do it all.
You can't choose the weather, but you can choose rain gear that works. Introducing Blackfish Technical Rainwear. Utilizing patented fabric technology, Blackfish rain suits are 100% waterproof, yet provide unmatched breathability, keeping you dry from your own perspiration. And with a limited lifetime warranty, Blackfish rain suits are built to last. When you need to stay dry and comfortable, choose Blackfish, because you can't choose the weather. Learn more at blackfishgear.com.
Hi, this is Tom Goodrich with Fishing for Life, and spring is in the air, so it's time to get ready. If you're looking to unload some of your old gear, that's rods, reels, tackle boxes, sportsman's gear, or even boats, Fishing for Life is the place to go. Why? We have over 500 volunteers rebuilding this stuff in the spring, getting it back to kids. Maybe you want to help in that department. Donate today or volunteer at fishingforlife.org. That's fishingforlife.org.
Well, I just finished a brutal three-hour meeting with the boss. About as much fun as getting a root canal or a colonoscopy at the same time. But I digress. Hey, it's me again, your radio, and today let's talk about your business. Are you finding it a struggle getting your business more profitable? Are you looking for an easy way to get more new customers? Well, you've come to the right place, your radio. Look, I don't want to brag, but radio has a lot of advantages. Radio has the best ROI of any other media. It's true, you'll pay far less and reach more people with radio. And with radio, you can target a specific audience. You can't do that with print, where you're forced to buy people that will never visit your business. Also, radio is the only medium that reaches people while driving, at work, at home, and at play. Speaking of the boss, I hear the guy's loaded. Some say he inherited his money from his parents. They were in the iron and steel business. His mother ironed. He stole.
Hi, this is Brad Clark, General Sales Manager at Bob FM. Call me at 763-412-4643 or go to radioadvertisingminnesota.com.
Total Country Bob FM.
Core Outdoorsman is back. I tell you what, well, this has been a fun show so far, man. We got Boomers here, Mark Lukey, Stephen, Edward Roberts, Drusinski. I piss my wife off when I say those four names, but I don't know why, but... That's who I am. Strewman's on the Four Outdoorsman. It's been a lot of fun.
Hey, we got some shout-outs, right,
Yeah,
Mark?
We got a couple shout-outs. If you want to try to get on the show before it ends here in 15 minutes, go to the Four Outdoorsman Facebook page and comment in the shout-out section. We got a couple here. Matt Quick says, Matt Quick's Outdoors Guide Service is on the fish. Client Maddox slammed this awesome 27-incher in the first 3 minutes. Lots of openings this summer for bass and walleye. MattQuickOutdoors.com. And my good friend Eric Eagle says, Ryan and Ella got into the crappies north of the metro. And Eric, I know exactly where you are, but I won't mention it because you take me there sometimes. So, yeah, Stu, you got something quick?
Well, I'll tell you what. Okay, we got Tom Volk on the air. But tell you what, Tom, hang on a second. We got one more shout out here, and we'll get right to you. But you guys are familiar with the Student Angler Tournament Trail, the Classic Bass Champions Tour. And someone asked me to bring this up today. They've got things happening right now with the Student Angler Tournament Trail, and they're looking for adults and students over the age of 13 to be boat marshals for the Classic Bass Tournaments. And it'll be kind of fun if you can do that. Marshals are just like officials on the MLF Bass Tour. They weigh fish, assess penalties for fish. I don't understand this. They assess penalties for fishing hitting the deck and such. What does that mean?
That means when you're flipping in the bass, you know, and you're trying to bring it in, and if the bass hits the side of the boat, there's a penalty for that.
Is that right?
Yeah, yeah.
Huh. I didn't know
they
that.
They started that with that's a major league fishing thing. It's not so much for the Bassmasters or FLW, but it's to protect and conservation of the bass.
Well, I guess it's cool. I learn something every day. But anyway, so that's the things you do. You do that. You keep the pro angler informed, what's going on, where they stand with the other anglers. It's an amazing learning opportunity. Join the boat marshals if you can with the Classic Bass Champions Tour. Go to www.classicbass.com. They're all kids. I'll tell you what, help them out. Be a lot of fun. www.classicbass.com. That being said, Boomer, you got one more?
Nope, we're all good. Bring on our guests.
Hey, what was that website again? You don't need the www anymore.
Don't you really?
Nope, not at all.
C:\enter. No.
HTTP.
\.
\.
Tom Volk, are you there, my friend? Tom Volk.
Hey, how you doing?
We're doing well. Tom Volk is from North Dakota. Thanks for being on the Four Outdoorsman. When I talked to you, Tom, last time, I told you we have a lot of fun here. We have a great show, a lot of listeners in the state of Minnesota, and podcasts all over the world, frankly, on Tuesday. But we have a lot of fun. We don't take a whole lot of things very, very seriously. Tom Volk is from North Dakota, fishes a lot, apparently, and caught a monster walleye. But before we talk about that, tell us a bit about your background, Tom. You're from North Dakota. Tell us about your fishing background.
Well, my fishing background started when I was about 5 years old. My dad used to take me out to the Lake Tekakwe, and we'd fish on the shores. We'd go camping and stuff like that. So I picked it up at a young age, and I would say that I really started getting involved in fishing when I was a little bit out after after college. And that's when I got my first big fishing boat and really took on the sport.
You know, isn't that exciting? It's funny because everyone's got a mentor. Mine was my old man. Boomer's was his dad. Mark was?
My dad.
Your dad, you know. And you start off just thinking nothing. All of a sudden, and frankly, I always dreamed my mentor would be Mark Fisher, but it never happened. I never had a Mark Fisher in my life, you know. But, hell, some things happen. But anyway, so you were a little kid when you started fishing with the old man, and now you fish regularly. Am I correct?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'd say more than regularly, probably. Yeah.
Now, you were talking about where are some of your favorite fisheries to go to in the state of North Dakota?
Oh, I'd say Devil's Lake is on my top. Sakakawea is on the top. I fish a lot of smaller lakes that a lot of people don't know about, but that game and fish stocks and stuff like that, and they're hard to get into. And I'll fish some of those because there's some really good opportunities there.
Interesting. You mentioned Devil's Lake, because Devil's Lake is our premier sponsor. They have been since day one. We go out there as often as we can, and it's wonderful. Give us some tips about fishing Devil's Lake.
Well, I like to fish it in June when the water kind of warms up a little bit. And I go back into the shallow bays, 4 or 5 feet of water, next to like an 8-foot drop, and I'll pitch crankbaits up close to shore. And I love catching big walleyes up in the weeds. Now, it's a technique that a lot of people kind of overlook in the spring, but, man, that's a great technique when those fish are actually sitting up in the shallows.
This guy knows what he's talking about, folks.
Hey, Tom, I'm laughing. It's Boomer here because that's exactly what we love to do. We just we switch it up a little bit. We just pitch it with a jig and a swim bait, a little 4-inch power gulp twitch minnow, just kind of the same approach to you. And there are some big walleyes in the bays. I mean, one thing that we love about Devil's Lake is there literally is no dog days of summer, because even when that summer kicks in and it's July and August, I mean, you can search those rock piles, which you probably know of one that starts with an H, and you can just run, you know, a bottom bouncer and just have a blast on there with, you know, Mr. Twisters.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Hey. Don't doubt your electronics, because they won't lie to you. If you know how to read your electronics, you're going to find the fish in Devil's Lake. And there's been many times where I saw little blips on my screen and didn't think that they were walleye, but would stop and turn around and try it out. And sure enough, yep, those walleye. A lot of times in the summer, you'll find them in different places than you'd expect to see them at.
You know, Tom, I'll tell you what's fun about this show is that we've talked to so many different people, and this is the first time we've had you on the air. But I can tell you getting excited about fishing, just telling the little tips like that, that's kind of fun. I have one tip for you. I'm not the biggest fisherman of the three guys here, but my best tip is to fish with a guy like Boomer, because he's got the Alumacraft.
Yeah, that's right. Hey, it always helps to have a buddy with a big boat.
Yeah, he's got it, pal. He's got it. My son Mike's got the same Alumacraft that yep. Boomer's got. And, it's fun having people who have stuff, Tommy boy. That's the way it goes. Yep. Hey, let's talk about a 16-pound, 9-ounce walleye. I think you were fishing from shore. Am I correct?
That is correct. Yeah, we've been fishing in the boat a few days prior and stuff like that on the river. And we weren't having much luck at all. We were catching a lot of smaller ones. And that was kind of the thing for that spring, is there was a lot of smaller ones being caught. So my buddy had gone there the day before and had some really good luck catching big walleye. So he asked me if I wanted to meet him out at this little Heart River, and that's exactly what I did. Met him out in the afternoon with the family.
So, Tom, walk our listeners through. So you're pitching on the shoreline there, and your buddy's saying there's big walleyes, and you obviously hooked up into a monster. What did you know right away once you set the hook that you had a monster on?
Well, okay, so like we're casting out into this shallow pool of water. I'd say it's about 5-6 feet deep, and you're pitching out about 100 to 120 feet out there, and you're letting it kind of sink behind this slack water. And all of a sudden, you know, I let it hit the bottom, and I start to just slowly reel in the line, and wham, it just hits. I mean, you can feel the tunk on the jig and stuff like that, and I set the hook immediately because we found out that those fish were picking up the baits and spitting them out really fast. You had to set the hook pretty quickly. And as soon as I hooked into it, I could tell it was a big fish. It stayed down, and it hardly moved at all, and it was just solid. It was a solid fish.
What were you using for fish? What kind of line did you have? Was it braided? Yep. What were you doing?
Yep, so I was fishing with a little Northland jig, little Northland quarter-ounce jig with a Moxie tail, like they're made by Authentic. Yep. And that's kind of my go-to bait in the spring. I mean, that's some of the stuff we still use in Devil's Lake and Sakakawea for pitching shallow. So it's kind of my go-to bait. And, the line I was using is Suffolk's 832, and I like that darker braid, especially in muddy water. I was using about a 10-pound Darker Suffolk 832 raid.
I got a couple questions for you. First, like when I saw the picture of the fish and like a lot of walleye fishermen, like I got like goosebumps. I could not believe the size. What was it like holding up that fish and just the weight behind it? I can't imagine that feeling of landing a fish like that.
Well, when everything was said and done and Joe handed me the net up by the bank where I had initially started fishing, I just looked in the net and I couldn't believe how big this fish was. I've been fishing for about 35 years, mm-hmm. and I could not believe the size of this fish. And I have a 14-pounder sitting on my wall because I go up into Canada every year to go fishing to do the winter fish and bite up there. And
so my next question is, you know, we're in Minnesota and your picture was everywhere. What was it like being instantly fishing famous? Did you get calls from all sorts of weirdo radio hosts and
like
newspapers?
Yeah.
Tell us what it's like, because we've talked to a few people with records. You know, obviously there was an issue that you can talk about next. But what was it like being instant fishing famous for a week or so?
Well, to be honest, I'm still fishing famous because now it's controversial a controversial fish. So it hasn't really gone away, but the beginning day was probably the best day. So that was by far the best day because I was really excited. I had the family with me. They witnessed the whole thing.
Yep.
It was actually a great day. But then, you know, all these rumors started spreading, and then the Game and Fish announces they were going to do an investigation, stuff like that. And then I was just sick to my stomach. I was like, you got to be kidding me. What's going on?
So
it became the best day to the worst day in a matter of no time.
Can you tell us that process? What happened? Did they call you? What happened where all of a sudden they said it doesn't count?
Well, they called Joe first. They didn't ask for my statement until like 2 weeks later and stuff like that. So really what they did is they told Joe that they were investigating this fish and stuff like that. And I was just like, are you kidding me? I went and talked to an attorney because I said, I don't even know what they're investigating. So I had the attorney contact Game and Fish to find out what they were investigating. And Game and Fish told them that it's possible that I committed a crime. And I'm like, well, what the heck would the crime be? And it's like, well, it's a Class B misdemeanor, $1,500 fine, up to 30 days in jail, or both, for foul hooking a fish and keeping it. And I'm like, you got to be kidding me. They could throw you in jail for 30 days for hooking a fish in the wrong spot? I'm like, you've got to be kidding. So I just took the advice of the attorney and stuff like that, and we kind of waited the whole thing out. And they made the announcement on Friday last week, I think it was. When was it? May 10th they called me as a believe what it was. And then they said they were writing me up with a written warning for keeping a foul hooked fish. And I was like, how can you do that?
Yeah, really.
It's like, my evidence shows that it was hooked in the mouth.
So, Tom, what is the definition of a foul hooked fish?
Hooking a fish behind the gill plate. So you can foul hook a fish or snag a fish in front of the gill plate. Like, you could foul hook a fish in the eyeball and bring him in, and that'd be a legal catch. But if you foul hook a fish right behind the gill plate, that's an illegal catch. So now here's a scenario I'm going to walk you through.
Yep.
What happens if you reel in a fish, a big fish, and the hook falls out inside the net and you never saw it? That could be technically a crime. And that's what they were trying to get the net man with the crime, because they said that he netted the fish and he brought it to me. And in that time, he removed the hook. And that could be a crime. That could be accomplice to a crime. And that's what they're trying to get him with. Yep.
Did Joe tell the authorities that this fish was hooked properly?
Yes. Well, he said he never saw the hook, to be honest.
All right.
So his official statement is that he never saw the hook when he netted the fish.
Well, how the hell can they prove that it wasn't hooked properly? How can they prove this?
That's what I don't know. Okay, so when you look at their witness statement, so Game and Fish put out a report, right? And they have three witnesses. Two of the witnesses were there. One of the witnesses wasn't even there, but he was there the morning of. And he said that all the fish that were caught were snagged, but they put that in the report. Even though he didn't witness my fish being caught, they put that in the report.
Yeah.
The other two witnesses specifically state they never saw the hook.
Yeah.
That's what they said. But they saw that it was netted, and and that was pretty much it. That it appeared to be foul hooked when he was reeling it in.
How can you tell if a fish is foul hooked when you're reeling it in?
That's a good point, especially when you're reeling in a 16.5-pound walleye through current.
Yeah.
How does one tell? Because then you got to think that I was reeling in this fish for over 3.5, 4 minutes, whatever it was, and nobody saw the hook while I was reeling it in. That tells me, every bit of me, that that hook was in the fish's mouth. Because if you can't see the hook in the back or anything like that while I'm reeling it in, that hook was in the mouth with the mouth closed.
I don't
know like
if you
every
guys,
other wall I bite.
I don't know if you guys realize this, but Tom Volk is pissed off. Hey, one last question, Tom. We got to let you go because the radio is the four outdoorsmen going to wrap it up here soon. Where is the fish today?
The fish today is at the taxidermist. It's getting mounted and get put on the wall.
Atta boy. Nice, Tom Volk, thanks for being on the Four Outdoorsmen. I'll tell you what, next time we go to Devil's Lake, and it'll be sometime probably in June. I don't know how far away you live from Devil's Lake, but we'd love to have you in the Alumacraft maybe because you know what the hell you're talking about.
Well, thanks. I don't know if I'm going to fish for a long time. Just kind of spoiled it for me.
Thanks for being on the Four Outdoorsmen. I'll tell you what, heck of a show. Strewman, Mark Lukey, Boomer, thanks everybody for listening to the Four Outdoorsmen. Before we go anyplace, my buddy Boomer's got something to say.
Get outdoors.
You're listening to Bob Outdoors, sponsored by K&L Surplus and Ammo.